Hello and welcome to the After Dinner Podcast. My name is Jay Swords. This is the podcast extension for ROI Show 554. Our guest today is Dr. George Glenn, Emeritus Professor of Theater at the University of Northern Iowa. We're going to be talking about his book, Opera Houses in Iowa. Our history buffs today are Rick Sweet and Brett Menard. Brett, start us off.
So one of the things that I love asking historians about is when you do these research trips, you always find something weird or outstanding or that surprises you. So what sort of weird or interesting things did you find that kind of stick in your head from poking around all these old opera houses?
What's fun is you never knew what you were going to get. You know, you knew that there had been a theater here in this town and in that building. And what we did, we wrote to every town in Iowa, to the city clerk or to somebody, or to the library, or if there was a library, we found that, and asked, was there ever an opera house in town, and is there still anything there? And we described what we meant by opera house, that is a venue for live theater. And then we compiled that information, and if we found that a town had an opera house, then we would try to go see it, if it was still there. And we asked that question too: Did you ever have an opera house in your town, and is it still there? And if it was, we went to see it. I forgot how many hundreds we found.
Which is amazing to me in and of itself, that 100 years or 120 years, whatever it is we're talking about here, that so many of them would still be findable, because Americans in particular have a tendency to bulldoze down things as soon as we don't find them useful anymore for the purpose they were intended. So I'm fairly impressed just by that.
Yeah. Well, remember that these were multi-use facilities in the first place. They weren't just theaters for live theater. They were meeting places. They were where you went to have a Lions Club meeting, for example, or any kind of social event, where the high school graduation was, where the that sort of thing.
George, I was just a quick note there, a footnote. Yeah, the Opera House in Princeton, Iowa, at the second floor of what was Bowles Hardware Store, was music, theater, prom dances, meeting house, and it was the meeting place for the town of 1,000 people. So that rings true. I do have a question, though. Something motivated you and Richard to go out and canvass Iowa towns to write this book. What prompted you to write this book?
Well, it was started out as a subject for an academic paper for a theater history society and for a convention they were having. And it just expanded from there. The more we looked, the more we found. It was one of those things. I wonder if there's something like that. And by golly, there was. And more than we realized there would be. So it was a little daunting to some extent.
Right. Every person who's done research has found themselves in that situation where I assumed this was a simple thing.
Yeah, the terror.
and then suddenly it became so much more than I thought it was. So yeah, I think anybody who's ever written a paper or a book or whatever has found that to be true. George, I'm interested in sort of, and I do this to everybody. So what happens to the opera houses? At what point does the idea of doing live theater in these places start to wane? Is it, you know, does the Great Depression, for example, create sort of kill off the experience? Or is it a switch from railroads to interstates in the 50s and suddenly these troops aren't traveling anymore? So what's kind of the demise of the opera house as a live theater place, kind of when does that happen?
I think it happens at the beginning of the 20th century, particularly with two developments, the automobile and hard roads, which let people get around a lot easier and more conveniently, and the railroad, when you could go from anywhere to anywhere by train. Then the introduction of movies, particularly sound film in the 1920s, it's sort of replaced the idea of a local live theater. There were no longer traveling troops as theatrical troops, and they were never community theaters in the sense of a community theater today, where, as I said, where the community gets together to put on the plays.
And I'm curious, movie theaters are very different, have very different structural needs, right? So it's not like it was easy to convert your opera house into a movie theater.
Well, it in a sense it was. All you had to do was get a projector and a screen. And which happened, obviously.
George, I may have the last question. I'm not sure. Yep. I'm looking at my leader here, and he's saying yes. My aunt, Margaret Willoughby, was one of the people that helped spearhead the rehabilitation of the Opera House in Cedar Falls down on the Parkade. Has there been a major effort throughout Iowa to rehabilitate some of these old opera houses and continue their use?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I couldn't tell you exactly how many.
Sure.
Hundreds, probably. But yes, because you see, in the opera house, it could be used for multiple purposes. It didn't have to be theater. Any type of meeting.
All right. Well, we would like to thank our guest for this 554th show, Dr. George Glenn, Emeritus Professor of Theater at the University of Northern Iowa. We've been talking about his book, Opera Houses of Iowa. Our history buffs for today were Rick Sweet and Brett Menard. ROI can be found at 9:30 p.m. Friday nights on KALA Radio or on the web at tunein.com. If you're looking for older programs, you'll find them at soundcloud.com. Just put KALA Radio, all one word, in the search, click on the first icon, and scroll down to find over a decade of ROI shows. You can also find ROI on all of your favorite streaming platforms. ROI is recorded at Station KALA, St. Ambrose University.